Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
So I have this thing called a mic. That's why I have a wife, to keep me straight. So like I said, we have Pastor Madison is home, so please keep her in your prayers. She's lost her voice, and so don't know exactly what it is, but it is. So like I said, just keep her in your prayers. Lift her up, love her, and encourage her. We have a bunch of people down in Panama City that are out doing a fishing trip. There it is. So that's Pastor Jeff in the middle, Shane, Carter, Mike Childers is there, and they went out, had fun fishing, and thank you, Caleb. So it's a great opportunity they had to be able to go down there and fellowship. I love Panama City. It's a place that Pastor Bonnie and I sort of kind of like to start as our relationship. I brought her down to Alabama for my 10-year class reunion, and then I took her to Panama City to meet my parents, and she fell in love with Panama City, and we've tried to go there every year since for our anniversaries. It hasn't been a 100% success, but we've done quite a few of them. But we have many needs in the family. So please just continue to reach out to people that you can have, that you can help. And tonight's message is be prepared. Be prepared. Recently, Pastor Spencer gave us a word on training. Training is learning how to be prepared. And it's so important for us to be prepared in season and out of season. And I get that because when Pastor asked me last week if I was going to deliver tonight's message, I said, of course I can, you know. So let us pray. Father God, we just come to you tonight. And we just thank you that you allow us to be able to worship you in your house. May my words tonight be your words. Prepare the ears to hear and the hearts to receive your words. Help me to speak with your passion and your strength. Thank you for all that are here tonight and all those that might hear your words. I love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. Protect Pastor Spencer and those that are in their group. Give them courage to truly not be silent. Heal Pastor Madison, bring her peace and strength. And may you bless those that are gathering at different churches here in Fort Payne tonight and throughout DeKalb County, in our state, in our nation, and around the world. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Just ask that you just help us to be prepared to receive it. I love you, Father, and I pray these things in your holy and precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When you hear the phrase, be prepared, what do you think of? Well, I've got to admit, I can go back way back in my life, back to when I was going to First Baptist Church in Selma, Alabama. I was in the Boy Scouts there. And be prepared is their motto. Lord Baden-Powell, back in 1907, started the whole principle of the Boy Scouts. Now, the Boy Scouts were founded until 1909, but Lord Baden-Powell put this together and thought that it was imperative that young men should be mentally and physically ready to perform their duties at all times. And what better way is to train? That they should be able to act quickly in any casualties. They need to learn first aid. They need to learn how to cook. They need to learn how to start a fire. They need to learn how to just to help anybody that's in need at any time. And the only way that you can do that is through training. You can't walk up onto somebody that has a broke leg and go, wow, that looks bad. No, you got to know how to fix it. You got to know how to help them, to stabilize them. You know, because back then, if you found somebody on the street, they didn't have an ambulance that was going to run down there. You had to help them out. today we are blessed that if we find somebody like that, hopefully we can call an ambulance and they can come and they can take us, but you still need to know how to stabilize somebody. Because the most important couple of minutes is that first time, because if somebody goes into shock, a simple injury can kill them. And that's why it's so important for us to understand how to take care of people, how to help people out. You know, and God teaches that throughout the Word. It's an awesome time that God started the preparedness business. You guys ever heard of somebody named Noah? Now that dude was prepared. I'm talking about, you know, God comes up and says, hey, I want you to build a ship. You want me to build what? For what reason? You're going to do what? And God says, okay, just chill out. Here's the exact measurements. Here's exactly the type of wood that I want you to use. I'll give you the skills and the tools to be able to make it happen. God never gives us something that he doesn't give us the tools to do. And that's so important for us to realize, is that whenever you hear something from God, don't go, huh? Say, yes, sir. And Father, I will do it to the best of my ability. I need your help. And the way we get his help is how? We pray about it. We pray about it. And we pray some more. And he will answer those prayers. He will answer those prayers. And he'll answer them in ways that we don't even understand. But he's going to answer them. He's never going to let us down. One of the best ways that we today can be prepared is by being prepared for his second coming. That's something that we all need to understand. I mean, it could happen while I'm talking. You know, somebody asked me one time, said, what do you believe? When do you believe that Jesus Christ will come back? I said, when his Father tells him to. Because no man knows the hour that Christ is coming. The angels don't know. The Father knows. He's going to say, now, go. And Jesus is going to say, yes, sir. You know, and the Holy Spirit is preparing our hearts. He's preparing our hearts to be able to be ready for that second coming, for that time when Jesus is going to come back. And he is going to spread fear, love, and sound mind all at the same time. He's going to do that. You know, it's important for us. That's not good. Electronics can definitely mess you up. I knew I should have printed this out. Okay. If you want to, you can. This is one verse, one section that I want to let us turn to. Matthew 24, 40 through 44. Matthew 24, 40 through 44. Got to get my old man eyeballs out. So that should let everybody have plenty of time to get there. Okay, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. In Matthew, we're shown different levels of preparedness. Jesus gives us the quality of life that we should be prepared to display to the world. In the Sermon on the Mount, we had an awesome teaching with that from Pastor Spencer. Being prepared involves being the performance of good works. Matthew 7, 24 through 25. Abstinence of bad behavior is part of being prepared. Abstinence of bad behavior. Matthew 15, 19. Love for our enemies is something that we have to be prepared to do. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. The forgiveness of others. We need to be able to forgive others. Matthew 18, 21 through 25. Unhesitating faith. Unhesitating faith. Matthew 21, 21 and 22. Acknowledging Christ to the world. That is what we are called to do, is to acknowledge Christ to the world. The love for God, and this is one of my favorites. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Matthew 22, 37. So we should be prepared to show our triune love, the heart, the soul, and the mind of us. We're a triune being just like God is a triune God. You know, that's one of the things that's interesting. The more you study the Bible, the more you find out that numbers are very consistent whenever he is showing us things. He shows us his behavior. He gives us the love that we have for others. He helps us to be able to face trials and tribulations. And the reason why we can do that is we have this word. We have this. What's one of the best things that this thing is referred to as? The sword. This is his sword. And he gave it to us. He gave it to us so that we're prepared for battle. Yes, he gave us a whole set of armor. The armor is defensive. This is proactive. This is proactive. And that's what the sword is. The sword is going to be able to pierce the trials and the tribulations that the enemy comes against us. It won't let us down. The Bible is never going to let you down. The only way that it's going to let you down is when you let it sit on the shelf. When you let it sit on the shelf, it's not going to help you. You have to have a daily nutrition of the Bible. You have to. The Bible teaches us just how important it is to be prepared in various aspects of our life. Being prepared is often a behind-the-scenes work. Sometimes it's in your face reality. I mean, like I said, I've already talked about Noah. I mean, look at that poor guy. You know, he's sitting there. I mean, he's called faithful by God. God loves him. And he goes up and says, hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Not just build an ark. That's the easy part. Even though it took him over 150 years. They say between 150 to 200 years to build this ark. So I'm not too feeling too bad about my chicken coop right now, you know. But not quite as important as the ark, but it's still a building project. And like I said, not only was it the building project, but he had to gather all the animals of the world. And a lot of people think it was two by two. Well, that was two by two for some, but all the clean animals God asked seven times, you know. And for some of the foul creatures, he said, okay, yeah, we're going to let these guys on. The only person that got left behind was the unicorn. He was out playing on the hill. He wouldn't come in. No, I'm just kidding. But one of the other things that Noah had to do, not only did he have to gather the animals, he had to gather the food for all of these animals. And not just, you know, a three-day supply. We're talking, he had to carry months of food for these animals. And not only months of food for the animals, but guess what? Months of food for himself. Because he didn't want to get hungry either. And the reason why he was preparing this ark is something the world had never seen before. Something called rain. Now, we would have not thought that the week before last, because that's all it was sort of kind of doing on us was raining. But God said, Noah, it's going to rain. We're going to flood the earth. They never heard of a flood. They didn't know what that was. And Noah did it all on faith. That's what he did it on. You know, whenever we're preparing or you're watching TV, they tell us to prepare for an emergency. And they tell us to prepare with how many hours of food? 72 hours. 72 hours. Have you ever tried to just eat food? food for 72 hours and never have anything else to eat for the rest of the month? No, 72 hours isn't a wise decision. And that's something we're going to talk about. If Noah would have done it for 72 hours, it didn't stop raining for 40 days. And then they were underway for another 150 days after that. So, I mean, just think about that. That's 190 days. And there's also a week before it ever started raining that he was shut into the ark. Two areas I want to touch on are spiritual preparedness and practical preparedness. Key areas of spiritual preparedness are what I'm going to talk about right now, being ready for Christ's return, spiritual warfare, and defending the faith. And being ready for Christ's return, I don't know why this is doing this to me, because it can. And being ready for Christ's return, this is not to be taken lightly. When he left to go and sit on the right hand of our Father, he told us in John 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That is where I am, and that you may also be." The area that we need to ensure that we are prepared to understand is the need to practice forgiveness. Most of us know how to forgive others, but we often forget how to forgive ourselves. That's important, because if you don't forgive yourselves, the enemy is going to continue to use that to be able to come against you, to fight you, and to make you doubt where you are. And not only do we need to have forgiveness, but we also need, we need to be able to take that forgiveness and bring reconciliation into the family. Because one of the things that Bonnie and I used to teach a class called Growing Kids God's Way, and one of the things that I never thought about before is when you say, "I'm sorry." Well, when you say, "I'm sorry," guess who still has the power over that situation? You do. And the reason why is because you are not seeking reconciliation. When you say, "I'm sorry," you then need to say, "Will you please forgive me?" That's seeking reconciliation. And that's so important. That helps to build that bridge and to cover that hurt and allow that hurt to heal. Because if all you ever say is, "I'm sorry," and walk away, you're in charge. But no, you need to give it up to the person that you hurt. And you need to ask for forgiveness. Being prepared means that we have to live with urgency. We can't just sit around, wait for life to happen to us, make sure, oh, come see, come saw, you know, things are going to go, things are going to happen. No, they're going to continue to grow. If you don't believe me, just watch what's going on in the news recently. I mean, we have people that are intentionally hurting people. I mean, it doesn't even begin to make sense to me, and I doubt to you either, why would you just set some people on fire? You know, why would you do things like that? Why would you take a couple that is just freshly engaged and take their lives? Why do you do that? You have to have an urgency to be prepared. Because you don't know when we walk out the door, hopefully there's nobody out there waiting on us, but there could be. You know, we have to be prepared. We have to have that sense of urgency around us. We need to treat every day as if it were our last day before Christ returns. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only," as I talked about earlier. So tomorrow could literally be the day that Christ returns. Hallelujah. I'm not going to try to bring false expectations into this message, just reading the word that God gave me. Spiritual warfare is my second area under spiritual preparedness that I want to touch on. The tools that we can use when we're preparing for spiritual warfare are prayer. Prayer. And knowing God's power and Jesus' authority over the enemy cannot stand when we bring prayer into our lives. Once again, Jesus is the best example that we can have. In the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus three times. And three times, what was Jesus' defense? What was his preparation? It is written. He used God's word to deny Satan those temptations that he was trying to bring on him. We have to have the word in our heart. We have to have the word so that we can, whenever Satan comes against us with a temptation, we can say, it is written, this is what God's word says. We have to make sure that that is happening. So in spiritual warfare, we should memorize scripture. When we memorize scripture, we're feeding on God's word. When we're feeding on God's word, it allows us to grow. It allows us not to become stagnant, but allows us to grow. And that's what we want to do. We want to grow on a daily basis. I've often said that whenever you quit learning, you start dying. And you don't want to die. Not in this body. You want to die to go to heaven, yes. But not die and just sit there and become a vegetable. We don't want that. I think that's one of the things that causes Alzheimer's, is when people give up and people quit learning. You know, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I can't say that that's true. That's just something I feel. I've watched too many people that have said, I'm too old to learn. No, you're never too old to learn. I guarantee you're never too old to learn. You know, I got kicked out of the Navy after 30 years. Found out that I was just a dumb high school graduate. And to make matters worse, I was an old dumb high school graduate. You know, because after 30 years, you're sort of kind of getting up there, you know. And so I had to go back to school. And when I started going back to school, I found out just how important it is to continue that learning. I've been blessed with the knowledge that he has allowed me to have the freedom to be able to go to school. I've gotten degrees that we don't even need to know about. But it's because of that learning, that ability to learn, that it keeps our mind sharp. It helps us to be able to memorize the scriptures. We need to be able to do it, bring up those verses immediately. We don't need to go, oh, it's in here someplace. You know, Noah was not in Judges. It was, you know, we don't need to do that. We need to have the word memorized. Now, we have an amazing pastor. I think he's got this whole book memorized, you know. I don't even begin to come close to that. But I try to memorize new scriptures, you know, on a daily, on a weekly basis. One of the things that I like about memorization of scripture is one day we were down in Panama, we were down in Orlando. Pastor Bonnie and I had taken our boys to this place called Disney World. And we're riding this ride now. She does not like roller coasters. Somehow or another, we got her to get on the roller coaster called Space Mountain. I don't know if you've ever been on that. But it's probably one of the worst roller coasters is because you're in the dark. So we get on this thing, we start taking off. And all I can hear is Pastor Bonnie, she's got her hands in the air, not because she's trying to show off how brave she is. And she's saying, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and strong mind, strong mind. You know, that was... that's a verse that I can never ever forget, you know, and probably the most I'd ever heard it before. I know I've heard people using it in here. I think that I've heard, you know, during the prayer times of you know, Marla and just the people using it. You know, that's a strong verse. It's important for us to not be afraid, but to rely on His power, His love, and know that He will indeed give us a strong mind. pray scripture. When we pray God's scripture, his promises and truth, they help to strengthen our faith. You know, and that's whenever you use God's word, it's sort of kind of like, you know, if you want a good steak, you buy filet mignon. I mean, that's the best, you know. And you don't settle for less. You know, when you do God's word, you pick it up. You don't just open up by haphazardly. It's important to have a plan when you're reading God's word. And the reason why it's important to have a plan is because it helps you to go back and forth between the scriptures that you're reading to be able to see how they interconnect. I mean, that was pretty amazing, the challenge we had at the beginning of the year, reading the New Testament in 29 days, was it? 20, whatever the month of was. But, I mean, whenever you read that, it was amazing. I was reading the New Testament, and I was going, I don't remember that. I thought that, you know, Peter did this. It was in Matthew. Nope. I said, okay, it'll be in Mark. Nope. Okay, it'll be in Luke. Nope. It was in John, you know. And you just go, wow, it's amazing. And that's why it's so important for us to have that daily regime of studying God's word. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So prayer brings God into the minute cracks of our life. He fills in places that we don't even know that we need to get filled in. Prayer acknowledges the path that God has given us for our salvation. And then once we have those words in our life, when someone comes up and talks to us, we can then give them back to them. We can help to encourage them. We can help to bring them to knowledge that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, wants to be their Lord and Savior. We should suit up. We should put on the full armor of God. And in that suit, he gave us the proactive preparedness tool, like I talked about earlier, our sword. You know, I mean, could you imagine? One of the reasons why I wore this tonight is not because I always wear bow ties, but I just wanted to give a small little story. Just imagine if I was going out to play football and I dressed like this. I wouldn't be very successful. One, I got the wrong shoes on. I mean, you can't even begin to get traction in penny loafers. You know, that's not happening. And whenever you don't have a helmet of salvation on, you're going to get injured. Whenever you don't have the shield, the pads to be able to protect you, you're going to get hurt. And you're going to get hurt needlessly. But whenever we study God's word and we have his armor on us on a daily basis, we're protected from the enemy's wiles. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to be prepared and to read God's word and to study God's word and to know God's word. It's so important for us to be able to do that. You know, it's sad. You have a lot of people that say they're Christians. They come here on Sunday. You don't even see them on Wednesday night. I mean, I love you guys. Thank you for being here tonight. You know, that's, you know, as Pastor often says, and he said it many times, the true Christians come to church on Wednesday night. No, don't tell the people on Sunday that aren't here that we said that. Is this being recorded? Uh-oh. So I'm already in trouble. Oh, so a football player dressed like this is set up for failure. A Christian without reading the Bible sets yourself up for failure. It lets the enemy come against you at your weak times. And we're all going to have weak times. But when we have God's word to protect us, we have the tools that we need to be able to overcome the enemy. And it is written. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we should be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And whenever we have that word of truth, that what allows us to be able to defend our faith, to be able to represent our faith, to show that we are truly prepared. One assured way to be able to gain strength, love, and happiness is being prepared to give it to others. Give it to others. And the only way to do that is to be prepared. Defending the faith. Defending the faith is so important. You know, a lot of people think that you have to be a biblical scholar to be able to defend your faith. That's the apologetics. You don't have to do that. You just have to have the assurance that what you know in God's word, that what he's planted in your heart is his word. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for hope that is in you." You know, and that's something that when you're out on the street and someone is having a problem and you walk up to them and say, "Can I help you?" You have to truly be bold to do that. You know, "Can I help you? Would you mind if I prayed with you?" You know, after you've had the conversation, that's not the first words that come out of your mouth. But after you've talked to them and you've gotten what's going on in their life, "May I pray with you?" And when we pray God's scriptures over that situation, that's when it's going to get better. How are we supposed to defend that? It's with meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. We don't do that proudly. We do it because we have to have a good conscience. We have to have a good conscience. And then he adds in verse 17, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." It's important for us to be able to do that. What Peter's telling us is that we need to study God's word and to be able to tell people in a peaceful way about God's salvation's plan and how he desires that no one, no, not one, should perish but be able to have eternal life. Does that mean that all be saved? Unfortunately, no. But that is God's desire. Now, there's actually a sect out there in what calls themselves Christianity that believes that everybody is going to be saved. Well, that's not true. It's not true. The reason why that's not true is because the only people that are going to be saved are the ones that ask Jesus Christ into their heart. Just like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me." And the reason why is because of his faith. Not because of his works, not because of what he did, but because of his faith. The Lord is not slack in concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. So when we're defending our faith, we must be prepared. And the only way of being prepared is to know God's word. When I was in Bahrain, I was in the men's locker room. I used to work out. I know you can't tell that today. But a long time ago, I used to go out running. Pastor Bonnie's the first one that ever got me to run more than a mile and a half. She said, "Well, let's go out and run a mile and a half." Well, she meant one way. So that meant that I had the other mile and a half to come back. But I was in Bahrain. I was working out. And in the men's locker room, I was talking to this gentleman. And he was a Muslim. And we talked, and there were many times that we talked about Christianity, we talked about Muslim, and one day he says, "You know, I hate Christians." And I said, "Well, that's great." He goes, "What do you mean that's great?" I said, "That's your prerogative. That's between you and God. That's not between you and me. It's between you and God on what you believe." And I said, "But can I ask you a silly question?" He goes, "Well, what's that?" I said, "Why do you hate Christians?" He says, "Most Christians don't even know what they believe in." And when I I laughed. He goes, well, what's funny about that? And I said, well, when you know the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And he looked at me and he said, so are you calling me a liar? And I said, I didn't say that. You said that. And he said, so you're telling me that you think that being a Muslim is living a lie. Once again, I'm saying that's between you and God. You're the one who has to answer, not me. And actually, you're helping me out because now I have a defense when God says, how come you didn't talk to him about God? And now we're talking. And he said, well, you know, we believe in Jesus. And I said, well, that's cool. I said, but you don't believe in the same Jesus that I do. He says, well, what do you mean? I says, well, you believe that Jesus died just a natural death and that God took him to heaven. I said, you don't believe that he was crucified. He goes, well, no, he wasn't crucified. I said, see, that's where our parting is. I said, I also understand that you believe in the first five books of the Bible. He goes, yeah, that's God's inspired word. And I said, well, then why is the rest of it not inspired? Well, because Muhammad tells us that he got this revelation. And I said, well, now you're telling me that a man is telling you where your eternity is coming from? No, no. God is who gives you where your eternity is coming from. And when I told him about when you know the truth, you don't have to remember anything, he goes, you know what? I like you. And I said, you like me? He says, yeah. He says, you shoot straight. You know, and that's the important thing, is to never be prideful. Like I said, to do it in meekness and fear whenever we're telling somebody about God. Don't do it out of your spirit. Do it out of his spirit. Being able to help people to come to know God through the word is how you're truly going to help people to come to know God. To be able to be braggadocious about it, to be able to tell people, well, this is what I do. No, that's not how it works. That is setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up to let the enemy come into your life because you're claiming the victory, not Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can claim the victory. And we're lucky enough to have the Holy Spirit living in us to be able to give us that assurance, to be able to give us that time to be able to meet with other people. Paul tells us that we are to be bold and that we are to make the mystery of the gospel known to others. Being bold does not mean to be argumentative. It doesn't mean to be prideful. It means to have self-assurance in the scriptures. He goes on to tell us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. How is he going to guard your hearts and minds? Through Christ Jesus. So we have read the game plan that God has gifted us with his word. I once heard that secondhand information definitely does not equal good preparation. If all you do is hear it, but you don't put it into a practical application, you're setting yourself up for failure. Excuse me. Thank you. You know, it's sort of kind of like Pastor Tanner told us about the upcoming snow corns. You know, so do you truly enjoy the fullness of that snow cone by him telling you about it? Or do you enjoy the fullness of that snow cone by partaking of it? That's how you're going to, that's what we have to do with God's word. when a pastor does some amazing messages up here, that's secondhand knowledge. Even as wonderful as the word he is giving us, it doesn't become firsthand until we take it into our hand and we study it after that he has told us about it. Preferably, it'd be amazing if we studied it before he told us about it and he came on as the confirmation. And one thing I'll tell you about those snow cones, put a little bit of milk on it, makes it even better. You know, God's word is important to be consumed so that he can refill himself to us fully. I'm not saying that we should forsake the gathering of our family. I'm saying that it's important for us to be able to have the personal revelation, the personal understanding that we get from being able to read God's word. Well, I want to move on to practical preparedness. Practical preparedness might seem like it's the easiest topic to talk about. So how can you bring scriptures into practical preparedness? Well, it's actually pretty easy. Noah's the great example that we have. That was practical preparedness. It's important for us to be able to understand just how important it is for us to study the dangers ahead. Because if you don't prepare for what you might run into, you're not going to be able to overcome them. And that was one of the things in the military that we're very proactive about, and that's being able to, we call them drills. You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about you're in your bunk, the alarm goes off, you got to get your clothes on, you got to get there to fight that fire, you got to get there to go to battle stations, you got to get there to whatever that casualty is. My last submarine that I was on, we were doing an inspection called ORS, Operational Reactor Safeguard Inspection, because of the nuclear reactors that were on board. And I was designated by the commanding officer to be the senior man on the scene. Well, for me to get there, I had to get dressed, get my OBA, oxygen breathing apparatus, on, which was a face mask, a big canister in front of you. It had a canister that you had to put in it to be able to breathe. And what happened is whenever you breathe, your breath took the crystals that was in that canister and made oxygen. Well, at the end of the inspection team was up there, and they said, we have an award that we would like to give out. And everybody's going, award? They typically don't give out awards. And they gave out an award to me. They said I was the fastest old man in an OBA. They said, we don't know how you got there. You had to like sleep with the thing. And I said, no, it was in the damage control locker where it was supposed to be. I just don't take things. One of the things on a submarine, the easiest way to know the casualty is going down is when the fans shut off. When the fans shut off, that means you've lost power. When you lost power, now you're waiting for the next step. So I'm already up out of my rack and going. As soon as that ventilation right over my head in my rack goes off, I'm up and out of there, ready to go for whatever the casualty is, whether it's fire, flooding, reactor shutdown, diesel flooding, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, you're ready to go. Proverbs tells us in chapter 20. Now, I'm going to use the NIV for this, not the New King James, because I liked the way that NIV interprets this better. It says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. In other words, they're not preparing, they're just reacting. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he is denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. So see, there's verses all throughout the Bible about practical preparedness. God expects us to provide for our families. neglecting this preparedness is contrary to the imperative that God tells us. So you can see that we are to think about more than just today. We should be able to take care of our families for extended periods of time, definitely for more than 3 days. We need to think about the principles of three. The principles of three are very simple. They say that you can go for 3 minutes without oxygen. They say that you can go for 3 hours without shelter in a harsh environment. In other words, a hurricane, snowstorms, those type of things. You know, on the typical day like this, of course, you can last longer. And then they also talk about that you can go 3 weeks without food. Now, I know some of us go 3 weeks without food. Well, whenever you're trying to build your shelter, whenever you're trying to obtain water, which you've got to have, you can sort of kind of not eat. Yes, you're going to need to find food, but you don't have to have it, and you can ration out what you do have. It's important for us to be able to ensure that the environment in our home is where our family feels safe. They need to be able to feel love. They need to know that they are valued. And Ephesians 5:25 states that husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So as Christ sacrificially gave himself, so must a husband sacrificially give of themselves. Guys, sometimes you're going to have to give up that football game. Sometimes you're going to have to give up that baseball game. Sometimes you're going to have to give up that golf game. You know, you're going to have to sacrificially give it up. And the reason why is because there's something that you need to do with your family better. And that's one of the things Kevin knows with all the coaching that he's done, all the sacrifices that families have to make for sports. You know, it's hard. It's not an easy life. That was one of the things when I first got out of the Navy. My kids still wanted food. They still like to wear shoes and clothes. So guess what? I had to find a job. And so I found a job, and then I was also the chaplain for their Boy Scout team. I was the chaplain for the Escambia County High School football team. You still have things that go on. You have to sacrificially give up of yourself. I mean, I don't need to talk to the women because they already know that intuitively. They do that without anybody even beginning to tell them. And it's important for us men to give it up. We have to ensure that they are covered, our families are covered, mind, body, and soul. This is a very direct verse in Proverbs 12:11. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. In other words, you got to be prepared. You can't just wish that things are going to happen. We have to be protective in our preparedness, not reactive. We have to be proactive, not reactive. These preparations are to protect ourselves and our family. We have to be like the 5 wise virgins who had plenty of oil, not like the 5 foolish virgins that only had enough oil to last for a short period of time. And there's something else that I want to bring out in this. What happened when the 5 foolish virgins asked the 5 wise virgins for some more oil? What'd they say? They said, sorry, go down to the store and get some more. You know, they went down to the store, they missed the party. So that's why it's important for us to be able to be prepared so that we don't miss what God has coming for us, that we have to be prepared. And it's important for us to be able to do that with a spirit of love, a spirit of truth, and a spirit of sound mind. We have to be able to do that. We are told in Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Now, what does it mean by hiding himself? It means being prepared. It doesn't mean, you know, going, trying to hide in a crook or anything. It means being able to be prepared to have that strong house, to be able to have that strong place for our family to be in. That's what it means by being, by hiding himself. Share God, share Jesus, be the light. You cannot nor should not be expected to help those that did not help themselves. And that's one of the things I do want to warn you against, is that whenever a crisis happens, you have to be very judicious about who you let know that you have food. Because guess what? If they know you have food, they'll come and take it from you. So you have to be very careful. You have to know who you tell. Be careful with what you know. So we have spiritual preparedness, which is all of our internal conflicts and our internal preparedness. And we have practical preparedness that is for today and tomorrow. Well, for pain, being prepared is essential to live a life for Christ. Let me tell you one last little secret. You need to be prepared even when no one else knows why you did it. You don't need to be braggadocious about, hey, what? This is what I've got. This is what I did. This is who I am. Who I am. You don't need to do that. By applying these principles to our daily lives, we create a loving, stable, spiritual, and physical relationship in which we can let God's love shine through us. Thank you for being here tonight. I love you guys. And I'd like to close in prayer. Thank you for this time to share your word, God. Help us to find our first love in you. Help us not to just count our past works. Help us to show your love. Let us be prepared to let you guide us. Help us to continually be prepared for your second coming. May your unity enable us to guide others to you. May we encourage and lift each other up. Enable us to grow in our spiritual preparedness, and may our practical preparedness be guided by your hand. May we, your bride, be prepared to meet you when you come for us. Let your wisdom be the roadmap for our daily lives. Ask that you continue to be with Pastor Spencer as he's in Israel and his team. Like I said, be with Pastor Madison and help her to be healed. And we ask that you protect us as we make our way home tonight. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That the Lord turns his face to you, that he helps you to prepare for all situations and helps to give you the initiative and the guidance in reading and studying his word. Lord, I love you, and I just ask all these things in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.